Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. It is what we do, and we do it 2 hours every single day. That's been going on about 6.5 years now. So thank you all for coming in each day and being part of the conversation here. It's a Tuesday, so that means bottom of hour one through the rest of the first hour. It's Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix. That's his own thing. He invented that. He wrote that code. And now he is the source, the reference to the stars, at least in the world of college football. He absolutely is. So Dave's with us every single Tuesday. We will be talking a little Razorback football coming up in about 10 minutes. Andrew Hutchinson going to join us from Rivals, from the Arkansas site on the Rivals network there. And then bottom of the hour, managing editor, UGASports.com. It is Anthony Dasher. We're going to talk a little dogs. Bottom of the hour, but right now we are going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Well, this is a big deal. Headline, Notre Dame and Florida schedule home-and-home series. Earlier in the program, I said 30 and 31. It's actually 2031 and 2032, so I wanted to get that correct. So Notre Dame and UF, they have agreed to a home-and-home series. Going to take place in a decade. Notre Dame will open the series. They will host UF on November 15th, 2031. That is part of a 12-game schedule, at least as it exists now, 10 years of four. That is part of a 12-game schedule that at this point would include eight SEC games, Texas, Arizona State, Notre Dame, and FSU. That's a heck of a schedule for the Gators. So don't know what the squad will be looking like in 10 years, but they will have a Mount Everest in front of them. Headline. Arkansas State's AD agrees to hire at UCF. That is Terry Mohajer, I believe. And he was the athletic director at Arkansas State, an unbelievable tenure there. And he has agreed to a contract offer to be AD at UCF. This was made official, I believe it was last night. And when the news started coming out, Chris Lowe was who I saw tweeted out first. And at Arkansas State, man, what a resume he put together. You wouldn't think that what Arkansas State, really, how much can you do there? Well, he did a great job there. And it was facilities, it was fundraising, it was hiring on just about every front. This has just been an outstanding tenure. Has been there since 2012. And so got to hire a new head football coach. Mohajer replaces Danny White, who, of course, went to UT, took the head coach, Josh Heupel, with him. And so it's a big step up, but it has been earned, no doubt about it. Final headline, and this is actually kind of how the transfer portal is supposed to work. I will give you the headline. Maryland linebacker transferring to Ole Miss. Okay, well, that's something. And Maryland's a Power 5 team, and they're in a big-time conference, maybe the biggest-time conference, certainly outside the SEC. So they got a player transferring to Ole Miss. What's the story? Injured, bench player, homesick? No, it's none of that. It's actually a version of the portal that this is kind of how you hope it works. Chance Campbell just finished his third year in the program. He has graduated, or actually, he will graduate in May. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining. He has not been injured or a bench player or underwhelming or I just need a fresh start. He was third in the conference in tackles last year. He's a really good linebacker, and that is what he and the coaches and the overall program and over the last 3 years, that's what he and a lot of other folks have worked to turn him into. He was all Big Ten honorable mention last season. A Maryland linebacker, honorable mention all conference. He's really good. So if you look at Chance Campbell and his offers when he was coming out of high school, he's a local kid. He's from Maryland. Here is his offers. Maryland, Army, BC, Columbia, Dartmouth, East Carolina, Navy, Penn, Rutgers. You're seeing Yale, and they don't even really give scholarships, but they've got a way that they work it, so that's kind of what it is. And he went to Maryland. He's like, I'm a local kid. That's the biggest program that offered me. And then because of a lot of hard work he put in and others as well, but because of him, he's become a linebacker that an SEC program says, yeah, we would like you. And so he's heading down to Oxford. He's going to play ball for him. Good for Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Good for Chance Campbell. Good for everybody involved. This is how it's supposed to work. And he's actually doing the one thing that I've always said it on the show. The one thing you're supposed to do. Go graduate. At this point, you know, have a heck of a 21 season, maybe even 22. Good for Chance Campbell and Ole Miss and everybody else. All right, consider yourself up to date. We will take a quick break. Come back, talk more college football next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody getting in today. We talk college football. We do it every single day. That's just kind of what we do. I want to welcome on now from hogbeat.com. It is Andrew Hutchinson. Andrew, welcome back. How are you today?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing all right. This time last year, I was hearing, and plenty of people wanted to talk about it, that, you know what, if this Felipe thing goes as bad behind that offensive line and new system, if it goes as bad as it's going to go, and we all know it, watch out for Malik Hornsby. Felipe transferred, and he may not even start. Well, it didn't go that way, but somebody else will start this year. Take us through the quarterback room as Sam Pittman and the coaches come off a pretty successful for them 2020 season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Malik Hornsby is certainly in that conversation, but I would say the front runner right now is actually KJ Jefferson. He was a four-star dual threat guy in the 2019 class, redshirted, played just a little bit, even started a game as a true freshman in 2019, took advantage of that four-game redshirt rule. And then actually this year, it didn't play a whole lot until the Missouri game, the ninth game of the season. Felipe was hurt, unable to play, and so KJ got the start and honestly led Arkansas to its best offensive performance of the season.
Oh, it was bombs away.
It was a losing effort. You know, they put up 48 points, but lost, I want to say it was like 50 to 48 or something like that. And I mean, he was I'll just say he performed a lot better than I thought he was going to perform. Whenever the news leaked out just before kickoff that Felipe wasn't going to be able to play, I think I even tweeted something along the lines of, you know, this could be a long day for Arkansas because KJ certainly has potential. I just didn't know if he was quite ready for big time yet as a redshirt freshman.
All right. I am not taking anything away from the 3-3 start to the season. And I don't even care what happened. You know, the four games after that, it was Florida and LSU and some really good teams, Bama. But when I was introducing this, because I'm not an Arkansas fan or grad or coach or whatever, I said, pretty good season. How does Sam Pittman keep people from thinking a three-win season is a pretty good season?
Well, I think he does it by not saying it himself that it was a really good season. I mean, he is acting, you know, we thought that there wasn't going to be much, you know, coaching staff turnover this offseason, especially when Barry Odom turned down, you know, LSU and Texas defensive coordinator jobs and to stay here at Arkansas. We thought, okay, you know, he's probably going to keep his staff intact and kind of keep status quo. Then they lost the wide receivers coach, Justin Stepp, to South Carolina. That one kind of hurt because he's probably one of the better recruiters on staff, consistently gets four-star wide receivers here at Arkansas. But he was wanting to go home to South Carolina. That's where he's from. And you're thinking, okay, well, that may be the only one. Well, since then, he's made three other staff changes that appear to be not just the coaches deciding to take another job. It at least right now, kind of appears that Sam Pittman, I don't know if you want to say fired or encouraged them to move on and has replaced them with other coaches with the intent of being a better recruiting staff. Arkansas's 2021 class on Rivals ranks 25th nationally, which sounds pretty good, a top 25 class, but that's like 10th in the SEC or something like that. So he expects more. He comes from a place that, you know, Georgia, as people listening probably remember, you know, he was recruiting 5- and 4-star offensive linemen like crazy for the Bulldogs. And so he thinks he could do the same thing at Arkansas, probably a little bit unrealistic, but he is going to try his darndest to do that. And I think people see that and they go, okay, 3-7 is not the standard. Or if you look at it, in one another way is in a normal year, Arkansas probably would have been 6-6 with three kind of gimme non-conference games and not playing Georgia and Florida. But he's saying, you know, 6-6, 3-7, those, that's not good enough. We want to be better than that. We want to compete for the SEC West, you know, things like that. So I think he's still striving for that.
And so where do they go? Because, you know, here's the funny thing. You know, I assume the Hunter, Mr. and Mrs., you know, Henry have run out of tight end sons to send to the university. Darren McFadden, you know, every so often in North Little Rock, there's a kid like that, but that was 15 years ago. But every Texas, Louisiana, Memphis, just by itself, everywhere around it, wow, look at all the high school players. You can't succeed at Arkansas. You can't even go 500 if all you do is dominate the state.
Exactly. And I think some Arkansas fans have a hard time grasping that because there's always, I'd say, three or four kind of borderline prospects in the state that are like, okay, you could take them, or they're probably going to end up somewhere like Louisiana Monroe or Memphis or Tulsa or something like that. You know, not a Power Five SEC school. But they are going to try to have a heavier presence in Texas. I think they only signed a handful of Texas kids in this class, but that was another thing that I noticed with some of these coaching changes. They brought in a new wide receivers coach and Kenny Guyton, who has coached at Houston and is from the Houston area. He'll probably bring in more Texas ties. Some of these other coaches, Jermiel Ashley, the new defensive line coach, he's from the Dallas area originally and has recruited Texas for a long time. So I think they're going to still try to get that hit the Texas area really hard, and that's what has traditionally done well for Arkansas, while also, you know, having a heavy presence in Oklahoma. They really hit Oklahoma this year in the recruiting. They got several really good prospects, I believe, from Oklahoma, which makes sense because that's Sam Pittman's home state, that's Barry Odom's home state. Some of the other coaches have spent time in Oklahoma. And then obviously you've got the Georgia ties, like, you know, Sam Pittman coaching at Georgia. You have a running backs coach in Jimmy Smith, who is a former high school coach in Georgia. He also, you hope to have some ties in Georgia and, of course, across the rest of the South. But I think really if Arkansas, if they're going to be successful, they're going to have a really strong foothold in Texas and get, you know, maybe not, you know, five-star prospects, but if you could steal a four-star or two from Texas and then sprinkle in some really, you know, solid high three-star recruits, that would be a winning formula for Arkansas.
Andrew, I don't think when you say, when you make a statement that, oh, he's as good as anybody in the SEC, when you say that, there no context is needed. But I just don't think people will believe it because my opinion is Treylon Burks, he's as good as any receiver. Now, Devonta Smith's off to the NFL, you know, whatever. But I don't care. Whoever else anybody wants to put up, I think Treylon Burks is as good as any receiver in the entire conference.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the SEC this past year, it was basically Devonta Smith and Elijah Moore at Ole Miss. Those were like the top two guys in the conference, but they were also arguably the top two receivers in the country.
Could be.
Both of those guys were All-Americans. And then right behind those two dudes is Treylon Burks, and he's just a sophomore. Just kind of coming along and just make play after play after play. I mean, he was a deep threat for Arkansas. He made sensational, you know, Sports Center top 10 worthy catches. I think he had the number one play for a touchdown he caught against Ole Miss. That was just, I still don't know how he caught it. So he's a guy that can be your dude, assuming you have somebody that can throw him passes, whether that be a KJ Jefferson or Malik Hornsby or whoever at the quarterback position, because he is a playmaker. And you've got some other guys at receiver, too, that are pretty good. And I think they've got a pretty decent running back as well. They've got pieces on offense. It's just all going to depend on who's that guy calling the shots at quarterback.
Last thing, we got about a minute left. Why did Grant Morgan come back? I mean, it was pretty good results in year one. Everybody looked around and was like, oh, we got a good coordinator here and we got some talent. But I think Morgan may have had some opportunities on Sundays.
You know, I don't know if he's necessarily an NFL draft prospect. I mean, he's about 5'11", and, you know, has the right size as far as weight and everything, but he's not very tall. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. He's not going to probably wow you at the NFL combine or at a pro day, but the dude just makes plays. He's a very good college player, and you sometimes get those every now and then. Somebody that is just really good at making plays, yep, on Saturdays, but isn't necessarily a prospect on Sundays. And that's kind of what Grant Morgan is. Plus, this was his first year being a starter, and he's an Arkansas kid who loves the Razorbacks. So I think he enjoyed the spotlight he got, and now he's like, hey, if I can get another senior year, might as well take advantage of it and try to do it for 2 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to soft sell that as much as I could. I was like, I think he'll have some NFL opportunities. He said because he'll hit anything, and if you're a linebacker, I mean, who covers kicks in the NFL? It's linebackers and defensive backs mostly. So I think the kid can get a game check at some point, but, you know, good for Arkansas, him coming back. He's a big piece over there. Andrew, it's great info as always. Thanks for your time today, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Andrew Hutchinson again from hogbeat.com. And he absolutely is one of those kids that you look at and go, man, what a great Saturday player. Dan, who is a linebacker that transferred over from UAB to Georgia and then led the team in tackles?
Jake Gainis.
Jake Gainis. Thank you, Dan. He'd gone to UAB as a safety, and he winds up, when UAB dropped the program, he's like, hey, can I come walk on, please? I want to play football. Led an SEC team in tackles. And so, as I'm recalling, he got to run around at an NFL training camp. He got to do something, cup of coffee somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he was invited to the Senior Bowl, took part, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so, you know, I always say in sports, all you do is want your shot. Now, Jake Gainis, how about this? I actually did a couple of his games when he was still at UAB. I couldn't even remember his name 5 years later because he just wasn't one of those guys you ever thought was going to blow up on Sundays. But when you're that uber productive and you're willing to hit, an NFL team's going to let you come run around their training camp a little while.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Georgia's one of them schools. I believe Georgia has already purchased the giant pair of scissors and the giant piece of yellow tape that they're going to cut. Maybe it's in a couple of months. Georgia, way long ago. Way long ago, Kirby's like, we need a facility. Way long ago, Mark Richt was like, we need a facility. Way long ago. In fact, I can tell you the exact date. November 26, 2004. It was the day before the Georgia-Georgia Tech game. I was interviewing then-athletic director Damon Evans at the Starbucks in downtown Athens. It was the day before the game. That's where we were broadcasting from. I was like, what about that football facility? He's like, oh, it's coming. Well, it is 16 years and a couple of months later, and they're just, I mean, they're toeing the line of having that thing, people moving their offices in and all that. And then there's another phase that's even down the road. With a little more clarity and details, let's bring on from UGASports.com, Anthony Dasher. Anthony, welcome. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, too.
Hey, let's talk about that new shiny facility that Georgia's about to open. Just a couple of months away. Probably won't be there for spring or spring practice or the game or anything, but not too far after. And then there's a whole other phase that'll open later on in the year. Just give everybody an idea what's going on with the football facility on campus.
We learned yesterday that very shortly after G-Day, which is April 17th, they're going to open the doors to that facility and let coaches move their offices. They'll start, players will be able to start training. And I believe, I may be mistaken about this part of it, but part of this expansion is going to include a great big new shiny weight room, a lot more space for the players to do their thing, in that capacity. So that's going to be the next big phase. But yeah, the fact is it hasn't really taken them long at all to get this thing up and running is really pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that's after they turned to shovel. I would tell people from outside the area, Anthony, just talk through this quickly if you would. Sure. Why can't Georgia raise the money? I was like, the money's not the problem. There's no real estate in Athens. It was almost like UF in Gainesville. It's like they got cash. They just don't have any land.
And that's the thing. Georgia is about as landlocked as university campuses. You can't find it anywhere. That's where people say, well, you can move the track and move it down, village out with a softball complex. They do this, that, and the other. But they really had to cram, and I mean cram, everything, the new indoor practice facility, this new football building. I mean, it's all on area that at one point in time was a practice for the actual field where the Bulldogs were actually a workout. And people say, well, they won't compromise that now, and they won't have any room to actually practice. But that's not the case either. They still have, three outside fields to go along the indoor one with the new facility there. But, yeah, it's definitely – they definitely make good use of the room. That is 100% for sure.
All right, so signing day was last Wednesday for any program that chose to take part. Georgia had 16 enrollees already, and they've also got more kids that signed a letter of intent. How close to being done is Georgia? And I have to imagine there's no more high school kid that's going to come off the board most likely. Is this all transfer portal?
Yeah, I believe so. Just transfer portal. And by our count anyway, Georgia is at 83 scholarships. That's taken into account, the fact, returning senior will not have to have their scholarships count toward next year, basically do a waiver this year by the NCAA. So from what we understand, they've got room to bring in two more guys, and then Coach Smart kind of hinted toward this when we spoke to him last Wednesday. They would like to add some depth at quarterback, very young position for him right now. And I think probably the same thing can be said for safety, too. Those are two spots that you're really talking about a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience that Georgia's going to go into next season with. I'm sure Perfect World Coach Martin would like to add a little experience with that group.
And it's funny because that's exactly what I was about to ask you about. And I actually started looking in December, you know, when normally we got like a 3-week break. It was, I mean, literally 2 days between the championship Saturday and bowl season starting. And I started looking at the Georgia depth chart, and I was like, there's going to be a vacuum in that secondary. And that's exactly what's happened. And I know he doesn't want to throw a bunch of kids out there, but if he has to, I mean, Georgia's recruited as well as anybody. Give us a name or two of somebody that if the kid has to play, he's got a chance to succeed as either a freshman or sophomore.
Well, there's a couple. You probably start out with Kevin Ringo, you know, the five-star cornerback. And he had a labrum issue, unless you had surgery for it. He's already, you know, in court. This is me now talking. I've already got him kind of penciled in for one of those cornerback spots that's going to be wide open with Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell, you know, moving on. But even a true freshman like Nylon Green, who's one of those 16-year-old early enrollees you spoke to, is going to have a chance to come in and make a quick impact. But everybody is pretty much going to be all hands on deck. All these young kids, especially the ones who are here right now, are going to get a long look, with the new secondary coach, you know, Jamil Adai, to really make an impression. They're going to need those guys to play next year. That's not unusual. You don't mean to be saying that right now. They got some young guys going to have to play.
You know, Azeez Ojulari kind of made me wrong about this a little bit, but I remember before the season, well, they finally kicked off, I was discussing with a colleague, you know, Georgia's pass rush, and I was like, it's not that they don't have talent, it's that they have so much, because he was saying, well, they don't have any, you know, 10-sack guy. I was like, well, nobody's going to play enough snaps, really, because they got so much depth there. Ojulari played a lot, though. They're like, all right, you're going to play more. If there is a 10-sack guy, that's that sort of player, if that kid can emerge in spring and then into the season, who might that be?
I think there's no question that's Adam Anderson. I mean, absolutely no doubt about that. He wound up finished, I believe, second on the team in the sack last year, and he had two in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl against Cincinnati. And I think with his extended playing time, you could see him approach that 10-sack area. He's the quickest guy they have off the ball as far as rushing the passer goes. I can't recall all the quarterback hurries that he had last year. There's like some crazy 24, 25, something along those lines. But he's definitely a guy, I think, in the right situation, given the right opportunity, he can approach 10 sacks next year for this defense.
Yeah, and he's another – I remember, and I've talked about this before, Anthony, I saw him at a high school awards banquet. I was like, that kid needs to gain like 40 pounds. And he just keeps running. I mean, he's just so dang quick off the snap. It's working for him. Let's switch it around to offense real quick. And here's the funny thing, Anthony. You know, forever and ever it would be, oh, I don't want to play there. They've already got a running back, or they've got a lead dog, or you know, I'm going to transfer because I want my carries. I think it's the opposite now. I think college running backs like not having to be that plow horse. Part of why Zamir came back.
I think that's a big reason why. I mean, you definitely see a lot of that over the last 5 or 6 years where, you know, schools are able to recruit running backs now with the idea that, hey, they don't have to be that lead guy that's going to get, you know, 300 carries a season. They explain to him, and guys are buying in, you know, that you want to get to the NFL as healthy as you possibly can. I mean, as you know, the shelf life, I've talked about this a ton for an NFL back in, 3 or 4 years. So guys, they want to come into college, make an impression, get the NFL team to know them, but they also want to get their healthy. And you mentioned Zamir, Cook coming back, two guys who I didn't probably expect them to make that decision, but now that they did, Georgia has five scholarship running backs back from last year, and you add Leslie Carroll, another early enrollee on campus right now. This is a deep as a backfield as far as actual scholarship players go, and they really have since Kirby's been in Athens.
Anthony, last thing for you. Again, talking with Anthony Dasher, managing editor, UGASports.com. What's the chance that Kendall Milton is the best running back on the roster?
Could well be. I mean, I've just always been very impressed with him. He could be that total package. He's the biggest back. They list him at 220 pounds. I'm not sure if he's not close to 225 or 227. And honestly, the time he's entered that meniscus last year, he's really started to take that next step. So, And we understand he's completely healthy now, and it will be interesting to see if he comes in and takes that next step. Like you see a lot of sophomores do after their freshman year. He's going to be mighty, mighty hard, in my opinion, to keep off the field.
Well, Anthony, it's good information as always, brother. I appreciate you coming on today. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anytime, Chuck.
All right, Anthony Dashie, UGASports.com. Kendall Milton was a five-star kid out of Florida, and he and Bijan Robinson and Zach Evans, I mean, there was about five kids that you would look at and go, okay, one of those, the number one kid in the country as far as running backs. And I remember, you talk about unfun. See, every fan – I've said this before, and if you listen, you know that I play this out. I don't troll. I don't, like, take shots. I don't get into even just, like, you know, the mostly fun back and forth. But I was like, everybody gets their turn, all right? Every fan gets their turn. Real good friend of mine, Brandon Adams, we were sitting next to each other. He covers Georgia for – is that you? Who is it? Dog Nation. That's right, Dog Nation. It was SEC Country, right? And then it's just Dog Nation now. So we're at the 2004 Auburn-Georgia game. I mean, Georgia guy, I'm Auburn guy. And he looks to me like in the middle of the, like, I'm sorry, middle of the third quarter. And he said, it's a troubling feeling knowing your team has to play a perfect 20 minutes of football against an undefeated opponent to try to get a win. He says, we can't do anything wrong the rest of this game or we're going to lose. And that wound up happening, and so that was his turn. Folks, I got my turn too, and it was Kendall Milton. It was the first possession of the third quarter this past year, and I was like, hey, there's that five-star freshman. Hey, it just occurred to me Kirby has his fourth-string tailback in the game on the first possession of the third quarter. And I texted Brandon. I was like, it's a troubling feeling. Knowing that your team has to play a perfect 20 minutes. Kirby had his fourth tailback in the game. And it was the opening, and the kid got a carry. Opening possession for Georgia of the second half. And he's like, yeah, run the kid in there. And I was like, okay. You know what that is? That's a boxer, in fact. Muhammad Ali, wait, I read, because, I mean, I didn't get to see him fight very much. I was little, but I read later that one of Ali's tactics when he was fighting in the heavyweight division, because maybe he was a light heavyweight when he first started. In fact, that was his gold medal, light heavyweight. That when he got a little later in his career and he's fighting a bigger fighter, he's like, to judge their strength, he says, first round, first 10, 20 seconds, I would purposely get in a clinch with him to see and try to shove him off. After a clinch, he says, that way I could know from the start, how strong is this guy? What am I up against, you know, leg-wise, body, you know, what? How strong is he? And there's a commentary to be made there. Yeah, Kirby had sized up what Auburn was that night. When you put in your fourth-string tailback on the opening possession of the third quarter, that's how good Milton is. That's how certain Kirby was how that ball game was going to go. And I honestly think Anthony Dasher, he covers Georgia every single day of the year, and he named like four running backs, never even got to Kendall Milton. And when I asked him about it, he was like, yeah, oh, absolutely, sure. He could be the best running back. Zamir could be the best. Maybe James Cook turns into the best. Have I told y'all my T-shirt idea for Athens, for UGA? I got to get a license on this somehow, just a kickback, finder's fee. What is, you know, Russell Wilson, what is that phrase they have up there? Let Russ cook?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let James cook. It has to be a player who does not get enough run, enough action. Let him cook. James Cook, his first 2 years in Athens, everybody was – his whole time. Why didn't James Cook get the ball more? Why didn't James Cook get the ball? Let James cook. I'm telling you, there's a dollar to be made there. Let James cook and Saban on the shelf. I've got to get with an attorney, some marketing people. I'm telling you, there's a retirement in there somewhere.
Say less.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
When this opportunity came, I was humbled. I was honored that to think that I could get back to this point. And I just reminded myself the day I took this job, this is not the destination just to become the head coach of the University of Texas to say, all right, great, I made it. It's now what am I going to do with the opportunity?
Steve Sarkisian speaking to the media from distance, because that's how almost all conversations with the media happen right now. And he is commenting on the opportunity he has. He's now head coach of the University of Texas. Here is the complete opinion I have of Steve Sarkisian. He's a really good offensive mind, and I think Texas is in about as good a shape as they were with Tom Herman. I don't know how this is very different. Some of the details and the approaches will be different, absolutely, but I don't know that this is a serious upgrade, and also this isn't anything I would go, what in the world are you doing? This is crazy. What a drop-off. The money involved is the crazy part, but as far as we had Tom Herman, now we have Steve Sarkisian, you're not worse off. I don't know if you're better. The one thing that I had seen Tom Herman have is success. You know, that one thing? I'd seen Tom Herman have success in both elite recruiting, and I'm talking at Houston, and then at times good recruiting at Texas, but that's actually part of what got him exited after this past season. But I've seen him have success on the field. I've seen Tom Herman coach a team to a greater outcome than probably the total talent on that roster should have led to. So, like a good coach. And had a lot of success, obviously, just spinning right answers for Nick Saban the past couple seasons. Steve Sarkisian, as the head coach, has not been successful. His first five seasons at Washington, 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 8-4. Now, the reason I said his first five seasons, because there wasn't a six. Those were his only five seasons. 5-7. 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 8-4. Is that supposed to get you the Southern Cal job? It does when the AD is short-sighted and has nowhere else to go after he fires the head coach at the airport. So does that get you Southern Cal? It probably shouldn't have. 9-4, 3-2, fired. Now, I said I want to present the complete opinion. Now, this is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shinar, and Associates. Man, you know what? I was going to go long on this, and I hate running out of music. So, absolutely, it's my closing argument. I said I want to present the full opinion of Steve Sarkisian. And I started with, good coach. Everything I just said about his first 5 years at Washington, and if that's your 5 years, how does that equal Southern Cal going, that's our guy? You know that he and Lane Kiffin were the co-offensive coordinators for Pete Carroll. And you just went from one co-offensive coordinator in Lane Kiffin, you're like, well, hire the other one. I'm not certain how that happens. But Steve Sarkisian was not overly successful as a head coach. 34-29 at Washington, 12-6. So he's 46-35 overall. And he inherited two Power Five programs, same Power Five conference. talented rosters, the ability to recruit USC and Washington. If you're going to pick two, Oregon goes national. But you're talking about teams that recruit the West Coast. It's Washington and Southern Cal more than anybody else. Like, I may say, except for Clemson or Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State. But as far as West Coast teams, you know, like, or west of Texas. So he hasn't been that successful. But I said I wanted the complete picture. Do you know what the complete picture of Steve Sarkisian is? Almost none of us are the same person we were in 2009 or 2015 when he got canned at Southern Cal. And that's just, for lack of a better way, to more just normally functioning, middle of the road, vanilla, like me. Like, I'm just a person. I don't have, you know, I ain't got a lot of eights in my life. I ain't got a lot of twos in my life. And what I'm saying is I have not won Powerball. I also don't have alcoholism. I'm not trying to be funny there. I'm saying, you know what almost all of us are? Eh, just kind of in the middle. We don't win the Powerball, and we don't have an addiction. So if that's you, because it's me. So I'm just, you know, quarter in the middle, mainstream, regular dude. I'm not who I was in 2009. I'm not who I was 5 years ago. And so Steve Sarkisian, with that giant boom demon in his life, he really is a different person. So I can evaluate him on his just the wins and losses. I mean, he's a head coach. It's on him. But there also is that asterisk where you look down at the bottom of the page and it says, oh, by the way, he's not the same person he was. So I'm intrigued to see how it goes, but it is a tall task, and there is a dynamic out in the state of Texas, specifically with that program, that it honestly, it's unlike anything. It's even different from Bama or anywhere else. It's just its own deal out there. Dan, how are you today?
You know, just keeping myself busy with these t-shirt designs. I guess I need to start hammering out here pretty soon.
Thank you.
So, you know, hey, in the off season, that's when the creative juices really
make
get going.
A dollar.
That's it. Hey, we're finding a way to make this show even better and how to grow it even further. One way that somebody, you know, it's not necessarily going to be a chance for him to grow his career, but I heard a buddy of mine bring this up today, and it made so much sense about Will Muschamp, because those of you that don't know, Will Muschamp is now an analyst at Georgia. They made it official last week, and he's there dissecting film, doing all that kind of stuff. You'll see him, any footage from the practice field this fall and summer camp. He's going to be going out there with a little practice sheet in his hand, all that kind of stuff, and he gets to be a coach and play a coach without actually being the coach. So that's good news for him. But I'm going to go ahead and go prediction time right now, Chuck, that if we get to post game after that game, Labor Day weekend in Charlotte, and Georgia is victorious, Will Muschamp's name will be mentioned. And I guarantee you that it is almost kind of one of those things that maybe it wasn't at the front of Kirby's mind, but once he decided to bring him on as an analyst, somebody kind of nudged him and said, hey, you remember who we had on the other side of the field from him at least once a year, every single year, except for this last year at South Carolina? Yeah, it was those guys in the upstate of South Carolina in Clemson.
Yeah, there's always value there, and it is just the one-off of the opening game there in Charlotte. As far as Will and his future, I don't. He's not getting another head coaching job, I wouldn't believe. And if he does, it's because he chooses to go to a Texas State or something along those lines. Not any program where you can actually go win something, but he will be in high demand as long as he is 98.6 for folks looking for a DC, a position coach who can recruit and will break you off like you are a DC. He's a really, really good coach. Dan, good job. David, A+, brother. All right, wraps it up on a Tuesday. In 22 hours, I will start talking again, I promise, and it will be all college football right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamJack.com.